Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Apostle of our confession. An apostle is one who is sent. Jesus is the one sent from the Father and empowered by the Holy Spirit to deliver the gospel in which all Christians confess their belief. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not to brag or anything, but you know, some radio programs, they will offer one disaster. Not here at Wretched Radio. Two disasters for your consideration. Disaster number one. It turns out Jimmy was wrong. Asked him to go searching the internet machine for churches that do ballet services. And he actually found a couple.
I did.
But not, they weren't all really ballet. It was more like modern dance. And you know, but one of them is actually ballet. You can tell the two young ladies up on the stage with no Christian imagery, by the way. And it's very moodily, very dark, with a couple of stringed instruments to the side. They are going to do the blessing. This is for Sunday morning church. The blessing is the name of the song. I'm going to assume that's maybe the song, but it's hard to know because there were no lyrics. Are you being blessed by it? Is this edifying your soul? Is this communicating glorious truths about our God and King? Well, why use your imagination some more? They're doing ballet on the stage, and it's got a mural behind them of looks like tiger lilies. Well, she's up on her toes. Are you being encouraged? Are you worshiping? No, you're watching a show. That's what this is. So indeed, a church actually decided to go a little upper brow and do ballet. And it's intended to be the blessing. But what does this have to do with the worship service? If your church wants to host ballet night, knock yourself out. But these two girls, and they look rather talented, actually, that are dancing around with music playing. I don't know the lyrics to it, so I can't even imagine what they are. It means nothing. I'm watching a show. And that is exactly the problem with these types of things. The thing underneath the dealy. I don't want to get all technical on you, but where it describes what's happening, it's 187 views from 3 years ago. It's helping people know Jesus better. This is the vision of this church. How does this help anybody know Jesus better? What this does is it encourages people to come and watch a show. And then maybe they'll stick around. Maybe they'll hear some truth and maybe they'll become a Christ follower or at least keep regularly attending and filling up seats. Why do we need these types of things? The answer is we don't. But they are used because, in my opinion, it reflects a lack of confidence in the Bible, which leads us to disaster number two. Get ready. This is going to be a mess. Hey, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
You sound a little skeptical of what's going to happen here. Oh, Jimmy.
Yes.
Can't even mock enthusiasm at this point. Hey, dude, after the program, ho-hos and ding-dongs. Well, we're going to have ho-hos and ding-dongs in the studio. Would you please come into the studio afterwards for ho-hos and ding-dongs?
Okay.
Okay, that doesn't excite you. Tell me, what does excite you, Jimmy? Give me a food.
A food that excites me. Ribs.
Oh, that's right. By the way, Friel, we really have zero interest in barbecue recipes. Jimmy went to the Smoke Jack restaurant in Alpharetta.
Yes.
And you said their brisket is the best.
Their dry ribs are pretty good.
The ribs. Okay, what did you think of their brisket?
It's okay.
Yeah, see, there's two types of brisket that they offer. One is the lean and the other one is the delicious. But it was a wee bit on the fatty side.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, there was some good eating. But you like their barbecue ribs better, which is great because guess what?
That's what we're having.
A smoked jack barbecue rib.
Nice.
Dry rub ribs or whatever it is that you... So will you please come in here?
Absolutely.
Oh, good. Okay. If you turn off your earbuds right now because when he gets in here, I'm gonna read him something from this Kleenex box. It's a Puffs Ultra Soft. It says soft and cushiony, and you should see the pretty colors on it. And I want him to look at the Puffs Kleenex box, and then I'm gonna read to him all the glorious details, like 124 2-ply facial tissues, 21.3 centimeters times 20.8 centimeters. I got him. And you say, well, hold on a second. Didn't you have confidence that he'd want to hear you read the Puffs Kleenex box? And I would say, no, I didn't. So I tried to lure him in with ribs. And then I'll give him the Puffs Kleenex box. That's what's going on in these churches that put on performances. They don't have confidence in the Bible. They don't think it's interesting enough. It's not compelling enough. It's not helpful enough. It's not relevant enough. It's not powerful enough. So we need to put dry rub barbecue sauce, whatever that is. Is that how it works?
No. Those are the two opposite things, dry and sauce.
Yeah. Well, like that matters these days. So the words are, it's a total oxymoron. Hello. We've been postmodern now for a number of decades.
Your truth is yours.
Hey, look, I like up down.
What's up down?
It's up down.
Okay.
It's up, it's down. Same thing. Doesn't make any difference. Whoa, unto those. I don't think that maybe it's a lack of confidence in their own ability to preach. Maybe they don't want to do the hard work of grinding as a pastor in a community, going out to meet people, to visit people, to spend time, to approach people, to invite people, and then to get in the pulpit and preach, maybe even to a sparse crowd. But if you're a faithful preacher, they will come. Real Christians will find you. Furthermore, if you're being evangelistic, you're going to be having the best kind of church growth. And that isn't just sheep swapping. It's conversion growth. That's the best type of growth. Hey, look, people change churches. I get that. I that's understandable. So that's going to happen. I don't think that that's some sort of like critiquable sin. But what we should be really striving for is to go to the highways and the byways to compel people to come into the kingdom and then become a part of a local church, whether it is yours or another good one down the street, assuming, of course, you have two good churches in your town. That's great church growth. And I suspect these pastors, they don't want to be that patient. It's interesting. Okay, you didn't ask, but Alpharetta Bible Church, are we growing? And the answer is, if I had to guess, I would say yes. Numerically, are we growing? Yes, I think so. Because I don't count heads and I don't ask for numbers. But it kind of looks like it from the pulpit as I observe. It's like, yeah. Is it explosive growth? No, it's not. Is it Stephen Furtick-like growth? No, it's not. Because we put together a service that's literally... Hold on a second. Jimmy, can you? Hold on. I had to reach over into the garbage. I actually just threw this away. But here, this is from philosophical-theology.com, titled Evangelicalism and Rhinos, Reformed in Name Only, A Different Religion. And this article, this particular paragraph popped. Within evangelicalism, there is little regard for how the church fits into the historic Christian landscape. Now, ask yourself a question. If you're a part of leadership at your church or you were involved in structuring the worship for your church, was this question even considered? Did you even ask, hey, how's it been done before? Why did they do the things that they do? Consequently, evangelicalism pairs nicely with non-denominational churches that are not bound by Protestant confessions and catechisms. Given such ecclesiastical latitude, downstream from doctrinal independence is an absence of the church's historical liturgies. Instead, we're replacing them with more of a revivalistic feel on Sunday mornings. And I think the other big tradition is life enhancement presentations, that where they're amusement centers, hoping that maybe at some point they'll trip into something biblical. Maybe they'll read a Bible verse if there happens to be one in the lobby, although a lot of churches don't put up Bible verses. A lot of churches don't want to put up crosses. What's about this? Ready for this? There's a church that points north right down the street from us. They didn't want to put in a cross because, well, kind of offends some people. No! The cross! Get out of town! That we can't have that then. That's exactly what the cross is. It's a scandal. And churches, they don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable. And they really have nothing to offer to them. So what do? They put on a show. And they follow no regulative principles whatsoever. And the results, I got to tell you, if there's any sheep inside of those churches, they're really, really skinny. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Krotz helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortis means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortis. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Master's University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Master's University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Master's University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Gloss, and real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. fortisinstitute.org.
Attributes of God. What does God's patience look like?
2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God is not hurried, nor has he forgotten his promises. God will bring about the fulfillment of his eternal plan in due time." This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio, bringing you the latest celebrity entertainment news that's sort of Christian. And we might even make an allusion to the Bible and then laugh really obnoxiously and call it Christian Morning Radio. I think I hit it, Jimmy.
Did you?
That worked. I mean, it wasn't like bang at the end of the post, but it was at a little break there. Okay. So I think I killed that one. Now you're really killing it, Friel. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, what'd you think of my Puffs illustration?
It was wonderful.
Is that pretty good?
I was pretty disappointed that there were no ribs, but
that's interesting, isn't it? That you would come in and you'd go, "Hey, wait a second. You mean the real reason you wanted me to come to the ballet show was because you wanted to read the Bible? You wanted to convert me? It's a bait and switch." Mm. And people, if they're actually thinking, are going to go, "Wait a second. You think that you're going to amuse me into changing my worldview?" What an offensive thought that somebody apparently... The mega church that puts on these silly performances and shows and escapades and Broadway and all of the movie AC/DC stuff, I don't think it has a very high opinion for the people that they're trying to win. As if these people haven't spent any time thinking about life and death. As if they've never pondered anything deeper than what's on Gilligan's Island this week. Okay, that was a dated reference. I'm talking about the channel that just does the repeats of Gilligan's Island. So the reference was crisp is what it was. These people have spent time thinking. Maybe they've got a religious background. Maybe they come from a different world religion altogether. And you think that you're going to lure them in, put on a fifth-rate performance, and have them change their mind? Ooh. Not only do I think that that is actually has a very low view of people. Now, I understand that unregenerate people, when it comes to lostness, that they're foolish in their heart. I get that. But it doesn't mean that people are idiots. It doesn't mean that they're nincompoops. Their wiring is off when it comes to issues like religion and morality. But that doesn't mean these people are ill-educated or never give any sort of consideration to a deeper thought. Why do we think we're going to trick them by putting on a performance, by kicking a Bible on Super Bowl Sunday? Yeah, that's going to get them. Jimmy, I've got the entertainment celebrity. Did I do that? Okay, we got that already. There are two songs that hit the Billboard Hot One. That was supposed to be Casey. Take two. There are two songs entering into the Billboard Top 100 at number 40, Hard Fought Hallelujah.
Yeah. I don't always.
Yeah, what?
That's the first word of the song.
Sorry.
Yeah, I don't always feel it. Yeah. But that's when I need it the most. So I'm going to keep on singing till my soul catches up with my song. There's times when my hands go up freely and times that it costs. Uh-oh, there's days...
Jimmy, what's wrong? Are you okay in there?
Yes, I'm
good. Is there somebody at the door you don't recognize?
No.
Did the computer break?
Oh, not uh-oh.
Oh.
There's days when a praise comes out easy. Days when it takes all of the strength I got. I'll bring my hard-fought, heartfelt, been through beep, hallelujah. Mm. And I'll bring my storm-tossed, torn sail, story to tell, hallelujah.
Okay, now, why did you beep that particular word, which is an actual place? It is a real, it is an actual place.
Uh-huh.
And so like any other town or any other place, and I was going to use one, but I just realized that I'd be comparing that town to hell. So I couldn't win with choosing any town to compare to the actual location of hell. It's like heaven. We capitalize heaven. Hell is an actual destination. But I don't think that we should be using it. Okay, we could debate this over dinner, but I don't think that we should be using a word that the world typically hears as a curse word. Mm-hmm. And so to use any sort of derivation of it, or even to use it as a descriptor of something really horrible, I personally just wouldn't. Would I say that you're a heretic if you do? Probably. Continue, Jimmy.
Okay. Because God, you've been patient. God, you've been gracious. Faithful, whatever I'm feeling or facing. So I'll bring my hard fought, heartfelt, it is well, hallelujah. Hmm. Okay.
So hold on. See, I was actually going to say, clearly this isn't a worship song because it only had one but apparently there are more.
There are a few more, yeah.
All right, let's have it.
That was it. Hallelujah.
No, give me the O's.
Let's see.
And
then hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What is going on?
That's what it says then at the end.
Did you get hit in the head? What happened to you?
Hallelujah.
All right, Jimmy. That song a theological grade.
Three, four.
What it's school not, did you go to that they use numbers to grade you?
I see what you're doing. Okay.
Okay. Do it with me. A, B, C,
yes.
D. Because, I know you're from Tennessee, so just wanting to make sure. I might as well have used Tennessee to contrast it with that other destination, because now everybody from Tennessee ain't digging me right now.
All right. So I'd give it a C.
Okay, why a C?
It's not great, but it's not horrible.
Okay, so on the level of maturity, sure, it's not super high, but I just didn't see anything really wrong with that. Mm-mm. Now, I understand somebody might go, but it doesn't have the gospel. But I don't know that a Christian song does. Singing about Christian things, I don't think that that's a crime. And so while this song might not be my particular cup of tea, I just don't know that I would have anything where I could say that was wrong, that was a problem. I would say this though, because I care. I would say this to the people who wrote it. If you want lots of royalties, you got to get this thing sung in church as a worship song. So you need to add more O's to it. And then, get ready for that. All right, song number two, Your Way Coming In.
There you go.
At number 62, Your Way's Better.
When I'm overwhelmed within from the weight of all my sin.
Hold on. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What word did you use?
Sin.
Oh, all right. Now that's a good start.
Mm-hmm.
Now if you're going to have a song about sin, it would lead, wouldn't it, toward how is that sin dealt with? The weight of my sin? How can I get it lifted? Let's listen together, shall we?
I need a friend to call my own. I need a house home.
Yeah, see, now it just took a turn. It didn't say anything wrong, but it moved from weight of my sin to feeling kind of like I'm a rhinestone cowboy riding out on the horse in a star-spangled rodeo all by myself. Okay, that didn't exactly work, but it was a decent Glen Campbell reference if you're into Glen Campbell. All right, so we went from sin to feeling lonely.
That's right.
All right.
When I'm broken down inside and there's nowhere else to hide, I need a place where I feel known. Can someone help me? And then I hear your reply, bringing teardrops to my eyes, saying I'm not alone. Oh, Lord, I need you now more than ever. Would you put my heart back together? I searched the world till my head hurt just to find out your way's better. Your way's better. Your way's better. Oh, Lord, your way's better. Jesus, your way's better.
There is a, there's a pretty big part of me that would like to be critical of that, but I really, other than taking a turn, and perhaps, now this is getting pretty, this is picky, but just hang in there with me because I'm not intending to nitpick this. But other than saying, okay, actually I'm intending to nitpick it. Otherwise, I guess I wouldn't be saying it. The point is to talk about sin and then your lonesome heart, that's not the big problem with sin. That's an effect of sin. The problem with your sin and dealing with the weight of your sin is found in Jesus. So other than that kind of, you know, potential like confusing that I've got a God-shaped hole in my heart, I can't, Jesus is better. His ways are better. He does welcome us. He does make us feel not estranged. So Jimmy, I don't think that I could you criticize that song?
Not probably, but I mean, it's not horrible. Again, it's,
I don't think it's horrible at all.
Yeah.
Look, just art, how much theology needs to be packed into a Christian song. And I would say whatever the theology level is, it just needs to be accurate. That to me is the much bigger issue. I think coherence is super important, but even when a song maybe takes a little bit of a left turn and doesn't like follow through with the original premise, I didn't hear anything that was horribly wrong about that. So guess what? Congratulations. That doesn't make all contemporary worship music praiseworthy, but congratulations. We've got two songs that are on the Billboard Hot 100. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.